By the 8th century BC, cavalry had become vital to the ability of Assyria to maintain her military supremacy. The tribute of horses from the mountains had become the lifeblood of her greatness. The richest silver mine could not have been more precious to her than the stud farms of the Zagros. And yet, in Assyria's supremacy lay the seeds of its own downfall. The mountains were a mishmash of different peoples, Aryans and Aboriginals alike, with even the Medes themselves ruled by a quarrelsome multitude of petty chieftains. Foreign occupation, however, by imposing a unitary authority upon the region, had begun to encourage the fractious tribes to cohere. By the 670s BC, menaced by the shadowy leader of a formal Median union, the Assyrians' hold on the Zagros started to slip alarmingly. In 615 BC, a king who claimed sovereignty over all the clan chiefs of the Medes, Kayaxares by name, joined an alliance of the empire's other rebellious subjects and led his troops from their fastnesses against the Assyrians' eastern flank. After only 3 years of campaigning, the inconceivable occurred. Nineveh, greatest of all the strongholds of Assyrian might, was stormed and razed. 4 years later, all traces of the Assyrian colossus, which for so long had kept the Near East in its shadow, lay obliterated. Media seized a huge northern swathe of the defeated empire. In 610 BC, the Medes swept into northern Syria, burning and looting as they went. In 585 BC, they went to war with the Lydians, a people based in the west of what is now Turkey, and only a solar eclipse, manifesting itself over the battlefield, finally persuaded the two sides to draw back. By the terms of a hurriedly patched-up treaty, the Halys, a river flowing midway between Media and Lydia, was established as the boundary between the rival empires. The new king of Media, Astyages, undistracted now by war with other major empires, turned his attention to the wilds north and east of his kingdom. Leading an expedition into the badlands of Armenia and what is now Azerbaijan, he was following in the footsteps of the Assyrian kings, teaching the savages beyond his frontiers to fear his royal name. In other ways, too, the traditions of the great monarchies of the Near East, so alien to those of his own people, still semi-tribal and nomadic as they were, appear to have whetted the ambitions of the Median king. Travellers who made the final ascent through the mountains along the Khorasan Highway would see, guarding the approaches to the Iranian plateau ahead of them, a vision which could have been conjured from some fabulous epic. A palace set within seven gleaming walls, each one painted a different colour, and on the two innermost circuits, bolted to their battlements, plates of silver and gold. At one time, before the building of the polychrome palace walls, Ekbatana had been an open field, a free meeting place for the tribes, a function preserved in the meaning of its name, assembly point. But now those days were gone, and the Medes, who had fought so long to liberate themselves from the despots of Nineveh, found themselves the subject of a despot nearer to home.